Isaiah chapter 14 and also Zechariah chapter 3. Oh, well, let's see how quick y'all can find those. Isaiah chapter 14 and Zechariah chapter 3. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a few minutes to find that, because I got to joke a little bit. I've got a serious message this morning, very serious, and I have no humor whatsoever built into the message to try to keep your attention. So I think I'll have a little fun before we get into the message. Let me ask you how many, I challenged you to take your wife out to eat for Groundhog's Day. How many did that? Oh, very good. I believe you're serious. Okay. Jolly good. Jolly good. I took my wife out for Groundhog's Day, but we were visiting Pat in the hospital. And so she got to eat at Smoky Bones just because of that. But I'll tell you about my little visit there to Pat in the hospital. He was in the VA hospital for a knee surgery, and we went down that afternoon. And the nurse came in. She looked like she was part of the infantry division. And she came in, and Pat was a little loopy after surgery. And she was going through a series of questions, and she asked him, she said, "What religion are you?" And he kind of looked up and was still kind of loopy, and he said, "Why would you ask that question?" And she said, "Well, some people, their religion, like Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't like to have blood transfusions, and other people have little quirky things about their religion." And Debbie pointed at me, and she said, "There's our pastor, ask him." I said, "Well, we're Baptist," and I said, "I want you to go ahead and schedule him for a colonoscopy." That nurse never cracked a smile. She looked across the top of her eyes like this and said, "Since you're Baptist and like the fellowship, we schedule those in pairs." And the Bible says there is a time to refrain from speaking. So that's what I did. It's good to see you this morning. I do have, well, you know, you can enjoy a hospital visit. You realize that? You can enjoy a trip to the nursing home. It's according to what your attitude is. If you love the people you're visiting and you're there to cheer them up, you can enjoy that. You know, we don't visit anymore, do we? We don't visit homes. We don't have cottage prayer meetings. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. We're so involved in electronics that I think we're missing out on the blessing of having friends and visiting. Amen. All right, message number 2. Would you stand with me all over the house as we just read a little bit of this scripture? I'm going to bring you a message this morning, very serious. The humor's over. Lucifer, exposing the devil. You say, "Preacher, we're old, a lot of us are old, and we're senior citizens, and we're used to the tricks of the devil." Look around. There's a lot of young people here. There's a lot of young couples here. And we're all subject to the being taken captive by the devil himself. And so let's begin reading in Isaiah chapter number 14 and verse number 12. "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations." That's Isaiah 14, verse number 12. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." You can see that in capital letters. Yet look what God says. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Father, this morning, thank you for your precious word. We've gathered here this morning to enjoy the fellowship, to sing the songs of Zion. But Lord, we've gathered here to be fed from the Word of God. I pray that the truth would go forth from this pulpit. Whether it hurts, whether it builds, whatever it does, Lord, let the truth go forth. And let us be messengers of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you something that's not going to come as a surprise to you. This world is being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. He's called the wicked one. He's called the son of perdition. He is called in Scripture the man of sin, and he is what we know as the Antichrist. We can see it in symbolism today. The symbolism of the devil is on everywhere you look. It's on TV. It's on radio. It's posted on billboards. Symbolism. It's everywhere in advertisements, in public squares. Now listen to me carefully. It's easy to spot the devil in sinful situations. Somebody falls into sin, it's easy to see how the devil is in that situation. It's easy to see when the destruction comes after a person gets deceived by the devil to say the devil was in that. But you hear me, friend, it's a lot harder to spot the devil while he is disguised as an angel of light. And that's why the message is being preached this morning, because he is hidden behind symbolism. He's hidden behind temptation. He's hidden behind beauty. He's hidden behind things that look in the beginning like it would be good, but in the end, it is evil. I noticed that there are advertisements, and I checked into this some. Fox TV has now come out with a new series called Lucifer. Have y'all seen that? Raise your hand if you've seen that. I don't mean watch. That's not a trick question. Do you know that is out there? Let me say it that way. That is an attempt by the devil himself and by Satan himself to gain entrance into the homes, the minds, and the hearts of people. Amen. It is an attempt. The jingle that goes along with this show titled Lucifer is hotter than hell. And it's about an attractive, witty, handsome man who is supposedly an embodiment of Lucifer himself. Listen, hey, I'd like to scream this from the housetops, church. Don't ever get desensitized to the devil. Don't ever get desensitized to evil. It's a ploy to get people accustomed to the presence of the devil without fear and without respect of the spiritual things. They are portraying him as a funny, witty person. Hey, and millions of viewers are watching as Hollywood portrays the devil as just some nice guy. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He's not a nice guy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers are also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You and I as Christians, if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and it does, it will attract us to light, not to darkness. And so the problem here therein lies that Satan, when Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, then we are attracted to the disguise of the devil because it appears as light. That's why we ought to stay close to the Word of God. The Word of God unmasks the devil. That's why he doesn't like it. That's why he resists it. That's why he fights against the Word of God, because it will reveal his true identity and his true character. God help us to take a stand against that rascal. Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body's full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body's full of darkness. So be careful, Christian, what kind of light you are attracted to. This world is offering a lot of illumination that is of the devil. He's not just some kind of a boogeyman with a pitchfork. Cartoons have often depicted him with horns and a pitchfork and a pointed tail running around, sticking people or an angel on this shoulder and a little devil on this shoulder. And we've come to think of it as funny. I got news for us. It's not funny. It's not. The devil is not animated. He's not a cartoon. He's not computer generated. He is real. He's known in Scripture as the prince of the power of the air. That means that he does have power in the affairs of society. Let me say that again. He's known as the prince of the power of the air. That means he does have influence in the affairs of men, nations, and society. He can gain entrance in your life through entertainment. He can gain entrance to your life through TV and the music you listen to. Are you listening? He can gain entrance into your life through Ouija boards and drugs and horoscopes. He can gain entrance to your life I have dealt with cutting lately, self-mutilation. You say, preacher, let me tell you something. In Smith County, in Russell County, two different instances in the last few months of young men and women, elementary school age, who are cutting themselves with knives and glass. Hey, that's demonic. There's what's going on, preacher? The influence of the devil has entered into the homes of our local families, and we don't even know we're being destroyed by him. Somebody needs to stand up and say, get back to the Word of God. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Worship God. Study the Word of God. Be faithful to church. Hey, kick the devil out of your home. Kick him out of your life. Hey, friend, he'll destroy you if he's given a chance. Just as prayer opens up the avenues of heaven and the windows of heaven so God can bless you, so these other practices, these evil practices, open up your life to be destroyed by the devil. It's funny, as I read this verse of Scripture here, the Bible says Lucifer. This is the only time in the whole Bible that you'll find the name Lucifer. Only one occasion is it mentioned. And I got news for you. The New Age Bible, like the Authorized Standard Version, the ASV, removes the name Lucifer entirely from the Bible. Seems like a trick of the devil, doesn't it? Did you know he likes to disguise himself? He likes to camouflage himself. He likes to just say, I'm not really here. He likes to remove his name from Scripture. And nothing makes the devil madder or more angry than to expose him. You say, preacher, he's mad at you. I hope he is. Because I've got one greater than he is that I'm trusting, who watch over me and protect me and bless me for preaching the truth of the Word of God. The devil's been disguising himself for many years. He takes on many forms. He takes on many shapes. But his ultimate end is destruction. That's why we should stay close to the shepherd. That's why we should stay close to the sheep, true sheep. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is. But so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why we ought to stay in the flock. We ought to stay with the shepherd. Hey, friend, there are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are devils out there in pastor's clothing. Turn on your TV and you'll find them. Many modern day commentaries say that these verses of Scripture are not even talking about the devil. As I studied this, I looked at some of my favorite commentaries on this verse. And they said, no, this is not a description of the devil. This is a description of some mythical person. Hey, I got news for them. It's a description of the devil. There's no doubt about it. Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28 reveals very plainly who he is. Jesus said he's a liar. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He lies about the Lord Jesus Christ. He lies about the plan of salvation. He lies about the reality of God. He lies about the reality of himself. Hey, friend, we're to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the Scriptures as they exhort us in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Watch that phrase, seeking whom. The Bible doesn't say he walks about seeking what he may devour. It says he seeks whom he may devour. He's looking to devour people. He's looking to destroy souls. Hey, friend, he's looking for whom he may devour. He wants your soul. He wants your home. He wants to destroy your life, leave you in ashes, leave you busted open, and walk off and laugh at you, friend. He is your adversary. He lies about the value of your soul. You see, let me tell you something. The good news is that Jesus Christ valued you so much that He gave His life, He shed His blood, He suffered the worst thing imaginable because He valued you and your soul. He valued your home. He valued your children. He valued your community. He valued your country so much that He gave His life for your soul, and Satan wants to devalue who you are. He wants you to think that you're nothing. So you listen, one of the problems with those kids in school who are cutting themselves is they're from broken homes. They've been devalued, and the Satan just jumps on them and tells them they're worthless. So they begin to practice self-mutilation. I've talked to principals about this. I've talked to guidance counselors about this. I've made several phone calls lately, folks. It's a bad thing. I'm going to expose the devil this morning. Hollywood, let me give you an illustration. You can view this on YouTube. Hollywood ran an ad that you could sell your soul to the devil. And people were lined up to do it. And they went down through there with the camera interviewing the people in line to sell their soul to the devil. And the majority of them said they had no problem in selling their soul to the devil. And what they wanted in exchange, the number one thing they wanted in exchange was fame. Can you imagine that? I don't care if anybody knows my name as long as Jesus does. Amen. He's all that matters. I don't care if my grave goes unmarked. Hey, that scares some of y'all to death. I told Lisa, I said, take me up on a hill and dig a hole with the dozer and put me in it. I don't care. Jesus knows my name. Amen. I don't need my name etched in stone. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. Hollywood can have it. Listen, the word Satan or Satan, Satan, means one who resists. Our adversary is another. That's his name. Let me give you this. Satan has three names. Satan, Lucifer, and the devil. Jesus has three names. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is his title. Jesus is his name. And Christ is his anointing. As far as the devil goes, Satan is his title. Lucifer is his name. Watch out for him. And the devil is his mission. The Bible says, and I had you to turn with me to Zechariah, to turn with me there quickly. Zechariah chapter 3, let's begin reading verse 1 and 2. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And he shewed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand that is plucked out of the fire? I want you to look this way now. Zechariah is given a glimpse into the spirit world. Now, oftentimes you and I, we open our Bible and we see the spirit world. We get on our knees and sometimes the Lord allows us to see things in the spirit world. But listen, Zechariah really has the windows of heaven torn open to see what's going on in the spirit world here. And he says, I saw Joshua the high priest and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Amen. Watch out when you get it, when Satan is resisting. You know what Satan did this morning? He resisted a lot of people. Satan resisted a lot of people this morning. You don't need to go to church. It's cold. Stay in the bed. He resists. You see what I'm saying? He resists tomorrow when you get on the job and somebody's lost and you could mention, you've got a really good opportunity to mention the name of the Lord. Satan's going to resist you. He's going to resist you. Don't seem like much. But he's going to resist you. He's going to resist you from your Bible reading. He's going to resist you from faithfulness. He's going to resist you to keep you from your prayer time. He's going to resist you from doing, from you doing what you know is right. He's going to resist you when you live in a godly manner. The problem is we don't see the resistance. Zechariah got his eyes open in the windows, the spiritual windows opened up so he could peer in and he could see Satan. But friend, I just wonder if the Lord would open our eyes sometimes and just open the windows and we'd see Satan there resisting us. When we're trying to do right, going to church on Wednesday night, trying to get our children under the Word of God, and he's resisting us, yet we don't see it. Listen, when you need help with Satan, run to the one who's stronger than he is. When you're tried by him, fly to the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're tempted, hey, pour your heart out to God. We have an ally in Jesus Christ. He's our brother. Listen, he's our help in the time of need. The Bible says he's able to succor them or to aid them in time of trouble. He's able to help. But I'm going to tell you something. He's more than all that. He's a Savior. He not only saves us from hell and saves our soul for all of eternity, but he saves us, listen, on a daily basis from the temptations of the devil. Satan is not just an evil force. He's a separate entity. There are those who say, well, you know, evil's just a force in the world. No, there's a Satan. There's a devil, and he's in charge of it. So many people are so mistaken about who he is. He's the ringleader of a band of fallen angels. And the Bible says in Revelation 12 that when he rebelled against heaven, that his tail drew the third of the angels. And listen, the Bible says later on in Revelation, John said, I saw an innumerable company of angels. So now let's think about this. Let's put our minds to the Bible. If there is an innumerable company of... John said, there's so many I can't count them. There's so many angels I don't know who could count them. But the Bible says that Satan drew the third part of them. How many did he draw? We don't have a clue. But I'd say there are millions and possibly billions of demons in this world. And friend, all you got to do is turn on your TV to realize that this world is being influenced by Satan. The world is being influenced by the devil and by the minions of hell. So the first mention of the name Satan is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. The Bible says this. Here's the first mention. That's always a real good reference when the Bible mentions something or someone for the first time. So in 1 Chronicles chapter number 21, the Bible mentions that Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number the people. Doesn't sound like much, does it? Satan is resisting Israel, and he's provoking David to number the people. Big deal, right? I mean, just because David wants to go out and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we got 80,000 here and 90,000 there. Hey, God said don't do it. And God had a reason for saying that. But guess what? David rises up and he allows, now don't miss this. David rises up and he allows the devil to tempt him to number the people. And he goes to Joab and says, Joab, go out and number the people. And Joab said, don't do that, David. That's a trespass. You know that God said don't do it. And the Bible says that David prevailed against Joab. And Joab finally just says, okay, you the boss, you the captain, you the king, I'm going. And the Bible says he did it. Didn't seem like much, did it? You know what goes on in our lives every day? Well, let me go on with that. Let me go on with that story. The Bible says that God was displeased with this thing. God was displeased. Don't miss this point. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant because I have done very foolishly. And God says, okay, David, I'll do away with your sin and your iniquity. You did disobey me, and I'll give you three choices. You can face a famine for 3 years. You can be defeated before your enemies for 3 months, or for 3 days, the sword of the Lord will move through the land and with pestilence. Pestilence is a disease. And David said, man, that's a pretty tough choice. You say the Lord's pretty strict, isn't he? Hey, the Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Too many today are they're preaching love and forgiveness, and they never preach against sin, and they never expose the devil. This pulpit's going to do both. And so David said, boy, this is a tough choice. 3, 3, and 3, man. Lord, I'll just let you do. I'll take. So the Lord said, okay, I'll give you 3 days of pestilence. And the Bible says, don't miss this, 70,000 men died. Men that were ready for war, because David was putting his trust in numbers. David was, instead of putting his trust in God, he was putting his trust in the army. And the Bible says God was displeased. Now, that seems a little harsh, doesn't it? David just numbers the people and 70,000 men died because God's displeased. That reveals unto us the holiness of God. Now, let's bring that down on a level for you and I. Sometimes we think, oh, that ain't nothing. I'm going to get down where the rubber touches the road now. Oh, preacher, it's okay if I watch that on TV. What if God's displeased? What's the repercussions of God being displeased? What was it in the Old Testament? Pretty tough. Pretty tough. Oh, you say, preacher, we're living in the age of grace, and God will give me grace and he'll forget. I understand that. I understand God's merciful. I understand that we're living in the age of grace. I understand that Christ died and that his blood was shed for us and that we can be forgiven. But hey, sometimes we mess around and say, oh, preacher, that's not much. Oh, a little drink here, preacher. You know how many people have told me this? I don't drink, preacher, but now I've got a six-pack in the refrigerator, and it'll be 6 months before I drink. Hey, it's of the devil. Well, preacher, I look at this every once in a while, and I know it's not good. And hey, it's of the devil. It'll destroy you. Turn it off. He's eat our country up. He's eat our churches up. He's eat our homes up. He's eat our schools up because we don't think it's much. I got news for us. In the end, when you look at it, this country's going to go down if we don't change our ways and turn back to God. And we're going to look back and say, boy, just like David, Lord, we've sinned. And God's going to say, well, there ain't much choice for you. You say, preacher, you preach like that, we'll have to build a stadium for you to preach in. I understand. I'm preaching truth. And God knows we need it. So let's move on. I got to hurry. That's half of the message. I could preach a series of messages on this, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you why I don't preach on the devil and things like this much. You can study it a lot, and it's not healthy. I remember when I was in Bible college, I began to study demonism. That was part of my college course, to study demonism. And I got to studying that. I mean, I was trying to pass that course and study that book and answer all them questions. And I don't think that was very healthy for a while. You have to study it a little while. But the Bible says this, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these. You have to fill your mind with the whole Word of God. If you start focusing on the devil and on the world and on sin, it'll drive you bananas. You have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But occasionally we need, and we need it bad, we need Him exposed in messages just like this. Amen. So I make no apologies for preaching the message. This is what God wanted me to preach today. David was overconfident here. And I can't get away from that point. David was overconfident. You know what I think? I think in this county that most sinners are overconfident. Most sinners are overconfident. They're so confident in themselves, they think they can go out and live any kind of lifestyle and get away with it. And they wind up on drug rehabilitation. You know what I think about most Christians? Let me just remind you. I know we've got a Savior. I know greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. I know that we've got the victory in Jesus Christ. But a lot of Christians are overconfident and they dibble and dabble in sin until they're eat up and it's too late. Amen. And so we're to turn our mind to heavenly things. Let me give you three or four things that the devil lies about and we'll close. He lies about sin. The devil lies about sin. Listen to me, young people, and listen to me, young couples. The devil lies about sin, and he'll tell you you can handle it. You go out with your friends, and they light up a joint, and they say, oh, man, this will help you relax. And you'll just relax for a little while. You'll sleep good, and it'll be over in the morning. The devil lies about that. It won't be over in the morning. That stuff's addictive. You'll wake up tomorrow morning craving it, and you'll crave it more and more and more. He lies about sin. Amen. He lies about the destruction of sin in the end. He builds your confidence. Now, let me just give you something else. He lies about the suffering of hell. I read the testimony of one man this week who said his friends were all partying, and they admitted they were going to hell. And he said, if my friends can endure and suffer in hell, so can I. I got news for us. He's lied about that, because the millionth and first day that a person suffers in hell, it's just as hot as it was the first day they went there. He lies about the space of time. Can I tell you this morning, I'll speak to you if you're a sinner this morning, the biggest lie the devil tells is you've got plenty of time. That's his biggest lie. You've got plenty of time. Time slips by so quickly, friend, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. The Bible says in James that your life is but a vapor and appeareth but a little for a little while and passeth away. David said our life is a hand breath. Friend, life is short, and you better get your life on track for the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is soon over. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. He can tempt you. We're to turn our mind to heavenly things. Let me read you the scripture that I tried to quote in just a minute ago. Finally, Paul says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on them. When your preacher has been in study for 8 or 10 hours for one message and he delivers that message in a 30-minute period, you know what you're to do? Think on it. Think on it. Meditate on it. You know what Jesus said in the parable of the sower? He said, a sower went out to sow. And he said, some seed fell by the wayside. And he said, the birds of the air came and gobbled that seed up. And when the disciples said, Lord, what does all this mean? You give us all these examples. And the Lord said, those kind of seeds are seeds of the Word of God. And the Word of God gets sown in people's hearts. And if the Word of God doesn't find some good ground and grow and be meditated on and thought on and practiced, then the devil is like the birds who eats. The devil will come, and he names him Satan. Satan will come and devour those seeds. And eventually that's the destruction of that person. Don't let the Word of God, please, this morning, don't let the Word of God be sown in your heart. And you walk out those doors and never meditate on the message, never get in the Word of God, never listen to the words of the man of God who's trying to tell you the truth and love you and point you in the right direction. Why should I meditate on the Word? Because Satan wants to take it out of your heart as quick as you walk out those doors. Satan entered Judas Iscariot and he was lost. He went to hell. Satan filled the heart of Ananias and Sapphira. They were Christians and they died. It was a sin unto death. Satan also hindered Paul on his journey. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan can hinder you. He'll not just resist you. He'll not just stand at your right hand. He'll resist you. He'll try to stop you from doing right. And the only way to beat him is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't try to handle that rascal on your own. You're not big enough. Don't try to beat him at a spiritual game. You're not great enough. You have to fly to the Lord Jesus Christ.